Welcome to From the Magazine, a podcast of Holiness Today, where you will hear from our authors and editors about everyday faith. On today's episode, you will hear from Stan Reeder, USA Canada Regional Director, on praying the Psalms.
Hi there. My name is Stan Reeder, and I'm the Regional Director of USA Canada. And I want to say thank you to Holiness Today for asking me to talk on the subject of praying the Psalms. Praying the Psalms. May 24, 1738, was a day that changed the world. In his journal, John Wesley admits that he very unwillingly went to meet a meeting on Aldersgate Street when, at a quarter before nine, he recalled, I felt my heart strangely warmed. He had in an instant received what he had sought and not found for a decade, the deep abiding assurance of the forgiveness of and the freedom from all sin. He went forward from that experience to alter the destiny of England, America, Canada, and the uttermost parts of the world. In fact, the very existence of the Church of the Nazarene is due to that moment at 8:45 p.m. on May 24, 1738. What we seldom notice is what came before his experience that evening. It's interesting that at 5 a.m., that morning, he opened up his Bible to 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 4. Through these he has given us his very great and precious promises, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature. This seemed like a foreshadowing of what the Lord was about to accomplish in his own heart. This promise of the promises set up a sense of anticipation that God was going to fulfill that decade-long cry of his heart. Later in the afternoon, by God's providence, he was invited to attend a service at St. Paul's Cathedral in London. Well, it's well known today because a few years back, that's where Lady Diana was married. And just most recently, it was the place where Queen Elizabeth's funeral was held. So sitting in that grand cathedral, the Lord again gave him a foreshadowing of what he was about to do. During the service, John Wesley was struck by the force of Psalm 130. So much so that he wrote it out in full in his journal later that day. God had spoken in the psalm what he was about to accomplish in John Wesley's heart. Out of the depths, I cry to you, Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to my cry for mercy. For with the Lord there is unfailing love, and with him is full redemption. He himself will redeem Israel from all their sins. John Wesley isn't alone in benefiting from the powerful prayers of the Psalms. In 1557, John Calvin wrote in his preface to the Psalms, I have been accustomed to call this book an anatomy of the soul. For there is not an emotion of which anyone can be conscious that is not here represented. All the griefs, sorrows, fears, doubts, hopes, cares, perplexities. In 1531, Martin Luther, in his introduction to the Psalms, wrote, the Psalter is the prayer book of all the saints, and everyone, in whatever situation he may be, finds in that situation psalms and words that fit his case, that suit him as if they were put there just for his sake, so that he could not put it better himself or find or wish for anything better. But it's not just the great saints of the past, Wesley, Calvin, and Luther that found great help in praying the Psalms, some of the deepest writers of recent generations, Dietrich Bonhoeffer, Eugene Peterson, Thomas Merton, all turned to the Psalms to plumb the depths of God's presence in prayer. In fact, Thomas Merton opened his little book on praying the Psalms with the question, why has the church always considered the Psalms her most perfect book of prayer? Perhaps one answer is in the contents of the Psalms. Most simply, the Psalms can be understood as three basic entities: petitions, praises, precepts. Perhaps it's the combination of these three elements that create a beautifully balanced and powerful prayer life. We all know how easy it is to slip into prayer that's really nothing more than just a list of requests. Dietrich Bonhoeffer makes this point: the richness of the Word of God ought to determine our prayer, not the poverty of our heart. Well, yes, our prayers, our requests are important to the Lord. He loves us. He cares for us. He's our good shepherd. But praying the Psalms lifts our petitions to a higher level. As we pray the petitions of the Psalms, our prayers are filled not only with our personal pleas, but also with the request that the Lord would have us to bring to Him. It fills them with the request that He would graciously accomplish in our lives, just as He did for John Wesley through Psalm 130. So it's the petitions, but it's also the praises that make our Psalms rich. Again, we all know what it is to go through a difficult time and how it's so easy when our emotions are low or circumstances are tough to neglect the praising of the Lord. But yet, Psalm 22:3 says when we do praise Him, He inhabits those praises. And when we praise Him, when we lift Him up, we magnify the Lord, Psalm 69:30. And so our prayers are filled with His presence, and His presence is magnified before into our lives, and we are lifted to a higher place, elevated above the difficulties and the anxieties and the circumstances, to a place of help and hope and grace and grandeur in the very presence of God because we've praised. So it's the first two parts of entities of the Psalms are petitions and praises. And the third element of the Psalms is what I would call precepts. Precepts. The precepts of the Psalms provide the opportunity for the Lord to speak to us. What kind of relationship would we have if our prayers were all just one-sided conversations, a list of requests, maybe some praises? Perhaps you've experienced the lack of depth in a relationship when the other person does all the talking and seems disinterested in anything that you might have to say. You see, praying the precepts and the Psalms means, yes, the Lord hears my petitions and my praises, but perhaps even more importantly, I will hear His voice as the God of the universe gives me His rich counsel and truth for my life today. You see, we not only cry out to God in the Psalms, but in the Psalms, God cries out to us. So let's revisit that Psalm 130 that worked so powerfully in John Wesley's life that afternoon on May 24, 1738. Look at it in light of the petitions, praises, and precepts outline of the Psalms. The first line that I quoted in Psalm 130 was a petition, Out of the depth I cry to you, Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to my cry for mercy. The second phrase, for with the Lord there is unfailing love, and with him is full redemption. Well, that's a praise of the Lord. And finally, the third element of the Psalms is the precept. He himself will redeem Israel from all their sins. When the petition and the praise and the precept are present together, something powerful can happen. But let's go back to Thomas Merton's question. Why has the church always considered the Psalms her most perfect book of prayer? Well, there's a second answer. Beyond the balance and the power that those prayers bring to us through the petitions, praises, and precepts of the Psalms, there's something that maybe is even more important. Because when we pray the Psalms, we pray with Christ. These were the words and prayers that Jesus used during his ministry on earth. The Psalms were his prayer book for every situation, right to the place of dying on the cross. He prayed the Psalms. What a rich and blessed fellowship we have when we pray with our Savior. But there's a third answer to Thomas Merton's question of what makes the Psalms the perfect prayer book. And the third question to me is the third answer to me is the most important of them all. It's the deepest answer of them all. It's the most profound way in which the Psalms are a portal into God's exceedingly great and precious promises of all that he would do for us. Because Christ is the Word. John 1 tells us that. And the Psalms are the Word of God. So we not only pray with Christ when we pray the Psalms, we pray in Christ. We pray the Word of God. We pray Jesus into our situations, into the lives of those around us, into our own life. I think this may be what Paul has in mind when he urges us to pray in the Spirit at all times and for every occasion, using spiritual psalms and songs. When we pray the Psalms, we plead Christ himself into our prayers. There's an immense power in the Word of God. It starts with the creation account. We see it. God, the scriptures have said, he spoke the Word and the creation formed. You know, my mother just turned 100 this past week, and she probably is the one that was the first to teach me that there's power in the spoken Word. Because, you see, she would speak when I was a kid, and it would happen. She would say, "Stanley, make the bed," and the bed became made. Or she would say, "Stanley, let the lawn be cut," and behold, the lawn was cut. Her word marshaled the energies in the room. That would be me, the energies in the room, for the accomplishment of what she spoke. But the Word of God is a whole different level. It wasn't that God said, and so because he commanded it, forces went to work to create the world. His Word created the world out of nothing. And as we pray his Word in the Psalms, we pray his unique power into our lives and into our circumstances. These are not simply our words. They're his living, powerful word. And being his words, they marshal His power to create and to change and to transform. See, there doesn't have to be any shred of hope in our circumstances, but when we speak the word of Christ into those circumstances, that word has the power, without any evidence of hope, without any evidence of material things to work with, he can change everything. Oh, the majesty and the power of praying the word of God. When we pray the Psalms, we pray in Christ. We pray Christ himself into those situations. His word enters into them. What a gift the Psalms are to the people of God. Oh, glory be to God. So, as John Wesley prayed the word of Psalm 130, the God of the universe unleashed his powerful word to do that which John Wesley had striven to do and sought to do for over a decade, but was never able to accomplish in his own strength. The word created his strangely warmed heart and the deep abiding assurance of forgiveness from and the freedom from all sin. Let me just finish by asking, what could the Lord accomplish in our hearts as we begin praying the Psalms? What depth would he create in our souls as we pray his petitions? What heights could he work in our lives as we lift our praises to him in the Psalms? What exceedingly great and precious promises might he bring forth in our lives as we pray together, and not only with Christ, but in Christ, as we literally pray the word Jesus Christ into our world today? Well, thank you for giving me the opportunity to talk to you just a little bit from my own heart of the power and the beauty of praying the Psalms. God bless you today.
Thank you for listening to the Holiness Today podcast. If you enjoyed this production and wish to hear more, visit holinesstoday.org/podcast. Or find us on Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts.